Well, Thursday is Thanksgiving, and in Canada, it's not on Thursday. It's all the way back at Columbus Day in October. But here in America, it's on Thursday, and around the world, if you have a nation that really has a great God, the idea, at least at the founding of our country and all the way back to George Washington, the idea was that you would give thanks to the Creator and the God that made you and has provided for you and takes care of you and continues to meet your needs. And in fact, in their day, He was their Savior. Many of them were saved individuals that founded this nation. And you say, well, are you sure of that? They were at least ones that believed in God. They often reference Jesus as a Savior, so I will say yes. You say, well, you can't guarantee that. I can't guarantee you're saved, all right? So let's get as close as we can, and if you don't like it, that's fine. I don't mind. You can disagree, and feel free. I'm not trying to go ahead and make everybody saved, all right? That's not... All of them weren't, I can promise you that. But the truth is, most of them at least recognized that there was a God that provided for everything that we have. And truly, they decided that it's probably a good idea to set aside one day in particular to rest and remember that God is the provider and protector of everything. In the last days, you get to 2 Timothy, and one of the earmarks of the last days is on thankfulness. It's on thankfulness. In fact, ingratitude is one of the biggest problems that we have in our nation today. It's amazing to me, if you asked somebody really, what their favorite part about this coming weekend will be, their answer will be Black Friday. What they're going to buy, that's what they're looking forward to. What they're going to get a deal on. Every store that you go into right now went straight from Halloween and worshiping the devil. I don't care if you like that statement or not. That's where I am on that. And they're praising and worshiping those things. And they immediately jumped over and grabbed onto Santa Claus. You know, there used to be a time where there was something in the middle. You know, about halfway in between, where you stopped and thanked God. And the stores, they just go right past that. Unless they're a grocery store, and then they want you to buy turkeys and stuffing and all the things. But everywhere else, you can forget Thanksgiving. Let's move on to what can I get? Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Give me. Selfish, self-serving, awful mentality, and that is a world mentality that sadly creeps into the church all the time. We expect and presume upon the goodness of God, because God has always provided, and because we have everything that we need, and because we aren't sitting here bereft of all of the possessions we could possibly imagine, we have the good life and we're sitting in our comfort. What do we need to thank God for? You know, Abram refused to take anything of the spoils of Sodom and the cities of the plains because he goes, I don't want anybody else to get to claim that they made me great when God made me great. You know what Abram was remembering? That it's God that makes us great. Amen. It's God that takes care of us. What gets the children of Israel in more trouble in the Old Testament than forgetting that God was the one who's always taken care of them? And he had to put them back in bondage under somebody so that he could bring them back out and prove to them he's the only one who takes care of them. We look around and become very ungrateful in this world because we forget that God is the provider of everything. And I have this message right here, and I'm kind of mad. Say why? Because I wrote two. And I have the wrong one in front of me. And you say, how do you know that you have the wrong one? Because Brother Andrew was singing and the Lord said, you need to go somewhere else. So we're going to go back to the first message I wrote that I thought wasn't it, that's not finished. So that's the one we're preaching today. Psalm 105, if you would. I'll be honest with you. I think I pulled the wrong one. So here we go. We're going to the other one. And so I'm just going to not have notes, really. I've been thinking about this passage for over a week, which is why I thought it was it. And then I didn't get a lot of peace about it last night, and I was kind of in turmoil. And so I stayed up, and I wrote another one, and I thought we were going to be in Colossians all morning. And we're going to look at Thanksgiving throughout Colossians and how Paul was dealing with the church at Coloss with all these wonderful thoughts on Thanksgiving and why we should be thankful. And then we got singing, Thank You, Lord. Amen. And it made that phrase in the chorus. It says, I'll sing this song of praise to Him. Yeah. And I got thinking, you know, that's everything you were talking about in Psalm 105 right there at the beginning. Yeah. I thought it was funny because Pastor Legault went there last Wednesday. He didn't know I'd been looking at this at least a week. This was the passage that had kind of jumped out at me. He says in verse number 1, oh, give thanks, Psalm 105, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His name, in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face even forevermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O you seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. You get started, and now the rest of the chapter is going to be about ultimately Israel, a lot about their bondage, about how He suffers them and He deals with them, and how, you know, He deals with Abraham and Jacob and so on. And then the plagues of Egypt show up in the last part of the chapter, you know, and how He brings them up out of their bondage in Egypt and brings them up, and how amazing He is. And this morning I was originally going to preach on things to be thankful about that you find in the book of Colossians. But instead, we're going to look at ways to be thankful. Amen. Ways to show Him that you're thankful this morning. And so let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for how great You are to us. I thank You that You are an amazing God who wants to save and forgive. And I pray if someone here does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they've never been forgiven. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. They'd call upon You. Lord, it's a great day to call upon Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, I pray You'd help us to be more thankful and remember what great things the Lord hath done for us, especially now. Father, we love You and we pray for Your soon return in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here He is and He's opening up the book and He just says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. Like that's just supposed to be automatic. Because yeah. It kind of is. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You know, the reason most people are unthankful about things is they either don't like what they've got, and so they want to murmur and complain, or they think of all the things they don't have, so they murmur and complain. You ever know those people who are never satisfied with anything? You could give them the best of the best of the best, and they would look at you and find something wrong with it anyways. No pleasing them. You know what they are? They're unthankful. They're unthankful. You know what I don't like? I don't like it when my kids complain about what they have for dinner or what they have for lunch. You say, why don't you like that? Because that's what was provided for them. They didn't do anything for it. Right? It's food. It's nourishment. It's good. I'm eating it. Why are you not eating it? Isn't that the way we are with God? God goes, I provided it, and I made it, and I took care of it, and I gave it to you so that you could have. And we go, yeah, but it's not as good as so-and-so's. But it's not what I wanted. But it's, and we find all the things wrong with it. Right? Isn't that the children of Israel as they're leaving Egypt and they're going in and they're like, man, we don't even have any food. God's like, okay, I'll give you manna from heaven. And then they're like, yeah, but all we've got is this manna and we loathe it. God's like, okay, fine, I'll drop quail on you. Oh yeah, but now all we're eating is quail and it's the same meal every day. Why can't we have anything different? Oh, the leeks and the garlics back there when we were in bondage. And in, doesn't that remind you of you some days? Reminds me of me. And Lord's like, no, just give thanks unto the Lord. That's an automatic. You know why? Because everything you have is His. He gave it to you. He handed it to you. And He said, okay, here you go. I'll provide. You know, it doesn't happen around here, I hope. All right? But you get those weird, right, those city people that grew up in the city, right? And they're like, beef is not from a cow. Like, they can't figure out that you killed something and made that and somebody butchered that and took care of it and processed it and it went to the store and they packaged it for you. They think milk, like, just comes out of a fountain in the ground or something. Like, they have no clue, right? They're just totally, have you seen those? I've seen those, right? They're just, you're like, what is wrong? Like, you can't possibly be that ignorant, right? That's our thought process. But you realize that's how we live? We look around and we're not necessarily ignorant of what a farm is. But we look around and we go, well, yeah, I mean, I did that by my own hand. I worked and I earned that money. You know, I did that job. I took care of those things. I took care of it. And God looks at you and He says, you wouldn't be breathing if I didn't give you oxygen. You wouldn't have any strength. You wouldn't even exist if I stopped thinking about you, because by me all things consist. We forget that if He doesn't want us here, He doesn't need to do anything. He just needs to stop doing one thing. And that is keeping you together. Just forget about you for an instant. And you know what you'll be? You'll be a pile of molecules shooting out into the universe. Done. God doesn't need to hurt you or take anything from you. He's never been a taker. God doesn't take anything from you. He's not that hard and austere man. He's the good shepherd who giveth His life for the sheep. That's who He is. He provides and He provides and He provides. And you know what He says in verse number one? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Number one, call upon His name. It's a pretty simple outline right here. Read the passage. You'll get it. All right? Call upon His name. You know, when you realize that God is the Creator and you want to thank Him for being the Creator, it causes you to call upon Him. Say, so what are you thinking about? I'm thinking about, you know, Romans chapter 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You realize you got to be thankful to God because you got a chance to call upon Him. Because Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and He laid down His life a ransom for many. Because He died not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You and I get to look over and go, hey, look, there's a God in heaven who died for me. He rose from the dead to be able to secure eternal life for everybody. He walks out with the keys of hell and of death, and He goes ahead and He's going to live forevermore so that He could provide salvation for me. I could have forgiveness of sins. Solely because there's a wonderful God who loves me and paid the price at Calvary. Right. Wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. Amen. He dies for me. Right. And because of that, I look at Him as the Creator, dying for His creation, knowing that I can call upon Him and thank Him. Right. And receive Him. What a great Savior. Amen. What a marvel. You say, how can I thank Him? You can thank Him by calling upon Him. You can thank Him by saying, yes, I am a sinner, and yes, I deserve a lake of fire for all of eternity, but God, You loved me and You died for me. I'll call upon You to save me because there's nobody else that can save me. Right. Amen. What thankfulness. What is more thankful than you looking at somebody else and saying that they actually did the job right? Gentlemen, I'm going to go with the guys. I don't know how the ladies feel about this necessarily. I think you'd be on the same page though, because people are people. But man, you get a job done and you finish it and somebody looks at you and goes, man, that was nice. That was just what I needed. You can't tell me you don't reach around and go, yeah, that's right. I did that. You called the right guy to go ahead and fix that. You don't think the Lord feels the same way? I can't save me. I can't fix it. I can't take care of my own sins. I can't do it. I'll call the only person in the universe who can wash me of my sins and fix it.
Amen.
That'll give them some glory. That'll give them some thanks. That'll show them you're thankful for what Jesus did.
Amen.
Say, how do you know I should be thankful for what Jesus did? Because he died for you. Nobody's ever done that before. How many people do you know have died for you? I'll tell you this, you're thankful that God died for you.
Amen.
He rose again to give you eternal life.
Amen.
Call upon his name. He says, make known his deeds among the people. Hey, you know what? That's automatic. You know what happens when you get saved? Ye shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you and ye shall be witnesses.
Amen.
Unto me.
You
know, it's really weird in the Gospels. You get these men and these ladies, they would come and they would see Jesus. He would heal them or he would fix what was going on. He'd cast out the devil that was there. He'd do whatever the job was. And then he'd look at them and he'd say, okay, don't tell anybody. Right? Don't tell anybody. And invariably, these people are like, okay. And then they turn around and they're like, hey! And you're like, Lord, why don't you get on them for that? You know, the Lord never tells any of them to be quiet. He doesn't go after them and be like, hey, why'd you do that to me? You know why? Because he's all right. He's getting thanks and praise.
Amen.
You say, oh, I don't really, you know, I mean, because when God does something for you, why is it that you can be so quiet about it?
Come on.
You know why you're quiet? Because you're not thankful. Thankfulness breeds to the idea that everybody will know what he's done for you. How grateful you are that God would do something for you. Christian, you know why you don't get more thankful for what he does? Because you're used to him doing it. I don't know what your morning routine or whatever it is you want to call it, but guys going off to work and different things, and some of you men, you've got wives that you want them to, so that's what they do. They get up with you, or they want to be a blessing and a help to you, so they get up with you and they make coffee or they make breakfast or they get something. They get all your stuff ready, so while you're showering or whatever, you can walk right out the door, grab your stuff, and go. How thankful are you? At first, I bet you were super thankful. How about this past week? Were you just as thankful and excited that you could just walk out the door and had no thought of those things? Or did it become normal? Ladies, your husbands come out. All of a sudden the trash is no longer in the basket. They took it right out. They walked it out, you know. They did this, they did that. And you just expect certain things. And we become unthankful for the things we expect. And God is so good to us. He is so good to us that we just expect.
Yeah, come on.
We expect to eat today. We expect to make way too much turkey on Thursday. I know I'm making way too much turkey on Thursday. Guaranteed. Because you got to have turkey soup. And if you're going to have turkey soup after Thanksgiving, you got to have extra turkey. So you just make more turkey. I don't know how that's how it is at mine, because everybody wants to steal my turkey, and I'm like, no, I got to have enough turkey to go ahead and have turkey soup after. That's what we want. That's what we do. And you know what you find? You find that you look at God and say, well, I expected him to do that. I expected him to answer, and I expected him to do that, and I expected him to fix that problem, and I expected that he'd forgive me again. And I expected, and we don't proclaim that he's done it again. He's done it again. He's taken care of me again. Why is it that a lost world isn't tired of hearing how God takes care of you? Isn't it amazing? When you first got saved, you probably had some folks you were telling, and you were telling, and you were telling. They got so annoyed with you telling them that they wanted you to stop. And you let them convince you that you should stop. When God's like, no, you should keep thanking me. You can just keep telling my deeds among the people. Everybody needs to know. So you're talking about me. We find that when we have all the best places to go and all the best things we have and all the best things we need, we find a good place to eat, we find a good place to shop, find a good place to get your car worked on, find a good place to get this taken care of, you know what we do? We tell everybody. Then God does something and we tell nobody. I hope not. I hope that his deeds are known among the people because you let them know. You know, the only way they know that God did it is if you give them credit for it. We are really good at taking all the credit and not being thankful for all the things he's doing. Psalm 105, look at verse 2. Say, all right, I'm already uncomfortable and we're only through verse 1. Amen. That's because we live in a world that conditions us to be unthankful. So we're unthankful. We don't even think about thanking him. He's just that, and he's that good, and he's that faithful, and he's that amazing to us that it becomes so normal to us that God would be that great. And we forget, man, I need to thank him for that again. I need to thank him. I woke up today. I need to thank him. My knee moved today. That's me right now. Right? I can walk this morning. Okay, good. All right. I'm feeling better than I was. Okay. We forget. He does these things for us and we just... And it goes off. Verse number 2. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Singing is good. We have a hymnal. I like that Brother Andrew keeps adding new songs to us. I'm okay. If you don't like that, you got problems. I know they're hard to learn sometimes, and we're trying, and we're it takes effort. I apologize that it takes effort. I know we don't want that here at church. To put forth any effort, but you want effort. The Lord wants you to do that. We want to get a little better and a little stronger. Learn something new. Try it out. See how it goes. Brother Andrew, I promise you, Brother Andrew's not picking duds. There are some duds, right, Brother Andrew? He knows. Like we have almost 900 in this hymnal. Nearly 900 hymns. So there's some duds in here that are like, the music's not quite as good as, you know, it's kind of, and it's not going to help a service, and it's not going to be great. Sometimes the words don't match the music that's there, and you can talk to Brother Andrew about all that. But man, you've got this hymn book right here. That's all these songs about him. It's what he does. You know why Amazing Grace is one of the most sung songs on the planet? Because he still is providing amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Those hymns that have been around for centuries are not to be scoffed at. They're to be sung. I have no trouble learning more about how good God has been to somebody else. You know what you're singing about? You're singing hymn after hymn of someone who's had to deal with something that you probably don't even know, but you can certainly relate to. You sing those words, and sometimes you're looking at them and you're like, man, that's me today. You grab any of them, 822 in your hymn. Grab it, 822. This will be a good example. Most of you know the song, so it's not too difficult. We're not going to sing it, all right? I'm not going to have you sing. But we look at these, at the words to songs, and this song, I chose this in my mind right here in particular because it has so many aspects of it.
Right.
This coming, every verse comes from a different angle of who God is and what He's doing. This 822 is called Our Great Savior. We all, for the most part, everybody probably knows it. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me. Ever have a friend fail you?
Yep.
Foes assail me. Ever have some enemies coming after you? There you go. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hey, I may have friends that have failed, and I may have foes that are after me, but God is still standing with me, and He's the one taking care of me, making me whole.
Right.
Verse 2, Jesus, what a strength and weakness. You ever felt that?
Yeah.
Let me hide myself in Him. Boy, if you've been saved for any length of time and you've never had to run inside where Jesus is and just go, take care of me because I don't know what to do. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing. Some days it's more than sometimes. He, my strength, my victory wins. Say, verse 1 is not the same like verse 2. I know, they're saying different things over and over. He's just showing you another look at who Jesus is for us. Jesus, what a help in sorrow. While the billows o'er me roll. Even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps my soul.
Amen.
So what are you doing? Just singing. Singing. Jesus, what a guide and keeper, while the tempest still is high. Storms about me, night o'ertakes me. He, my pilot, hears my cry.
Amen.
You can't tell me you've never been in a storm wondering where God was. And have to cry out to Him so that He can go ahead and He hears my cry.
Right.
Jesus, I do now receive Him. More than all in Him I find.
Amen.
He hath granted me forgiveness. I am His.
Amen.
And He is mine.
Amen.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me till the end.
Amen.
Say, what are we doing? We're just singing about Him. Just singing about Him. Say, how can I show Him I'm thankful? Sing about Him.
Amen.
Sing about all He's done. You know, it's amazing. People won't listen to a lot of things. I was up in New Hampshire a little while ago. And they used to street preach before Brother Lord was there. They used to street preach, but the guy that did it was kind of foolish. And he did some things a poor way. And so he really left some businesses and some places right there. And I know you're not going to make the world happy street preaching. We don't. All right, that's not what I mean. But he kind of did some things poorly, I will go with, kind of turned some things where nobody really wanted to even deal with that type of a public witness. And so I think I mentioned this here before to some of our folks, but But they're in this cute, just quaint town. I mean, it's a tourist town. Main Street is all shops down Main Street. I mean, blocks and blocks of shops, people walking everywhere. And they like music. They've got several music stores in town, and things like, you know, they have a specialized guitar place, and they have a special, like, all sorts of things. And they had these pianos they would put out during the year. They had these covers over them. And Brother Dwayne came up with the idea, you know what we could do? We could just go out and play hymns and sing hymns as a church on the street. No preaching, no Bibles out, no just handing out gospel tracts. Yeah, no, we're from Littleton Bible Baptist. We're just out here singing, giving out gospel tracts, inviting people to church. If you ever want to come sing with us at church, come sing with us. He said, you know how many people came up to us and requested hymns because their church doesn't do hymns anymore? He goes, we'd get a crowd of 15, 20 people in the middle of town. And they're all townies. They're not even they're the locals. He goes, and they're standing there around the piano asking us to sing different hymns. Amen. And we were just singing and playing and singing them. Say, so what are they doing? Just singing about him. Amen. Just singing about him. You say that, oh, what's that going to do? That's going to draw a little crowd sometimes. And they may not listen to you preaching about him, but they may listen to you singing about him. Say, I have a terrible voice. You know what's great about singing? God said to make a joyful noise when you're singing. You just got to be happy about it. Amen. All right? That doesn't mean I'm going to ask you to sing a special. Brother Andrew may not want you in the choir if you can't carry a tune in a bucket. But there are times we sing. And we sing praises to our God because of how amazing He is. He says in verse 2, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Glory in his name. I talked about already a little bit about, you know, telling of his wondrous works, all of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. You know, it's good to give God glory. I touched on it a little bit ago. It's attached with what He's done and what He is. And not just what He is, but who He is. Glory to His holy name. Ascribing greatness to our God. That'd be a good descriptor right there. Trying to ascribe the greatness that is God. Now, I don't know about you, I find that to be the impossible task. How do you tell somebody how amazing God is? The best you've got is that He's great. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He's great. What does He do? He does everything great. He never misses. He's always on time. He always gets it right. He's never failed. He's always there. He's always working. He never takes a day off. And He has yet to be missing in action. He is the God that has supplied everything we could ever imagine. He is the God who goes ahead and can speak a universe into existence from nothing. And after He goes ahead and when His creation fails Him, He dies in their place. And rescues them again. He's the God who is the supplier of everything you could want, need, or ever have a care for. Amen. He's the God who loves you even when you're unlovable. Right. He's the God who goes ahead and makes sure that everything can be taken care of in His timing so that you can remember that He is God and you are not. But then He raises you up as His own son. He's the God who is near and not far. Amen. He's the God who wants you to be with Him. Right. He's the God who has paid for everything you'll ever have. Amen. He's the one who meets you where you are. Even in a terrible, horrible pit. To reach down and pull you from the mess that you're in and to set your feet upon a rock. He's the one who wants to be there for you. He's the one who won't leave you or forsake you. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the one who deserves all the praise and all the glory. And when you think of him, you remember Jesus. That name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And one day every knee will bow to that wonderful, glorious, and holy name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For all of eternity, you'll give glory to his name. Better start now. Get some practice in. Give him glory. He deserves it. He deserves to be told how great he is, and everybody else should know how great he is to you. If God's important to you, if Jesus Christ is important to you, if him saving you is important to you, then everybody should know about his glory. Man, you're getting a little emotional. Man, you think about him and you don't get any emotions. I don't know what's wrong. You might want to check some things. Your mind starts racing to all the things he's done for you. And then it slides in how unworthy you are for him to do any of them. He says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. I'm going to start with the first half of that. Let the heart of them rejoice. You know what? You know what gives God thanksgiving? It's a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise. Say, what is that? That's rejoicing. You know, if you're saved, if he's taking care of you, if he's doing all the things that he says he does, why are you miserable? Rejoicing is pretty much the opposite of complaining. Not exact, but it's pretty close. Because if you're complaining, you're definitely not rejoicing. And if you're rejoicing, you don't have a complaint to make. The trouble is we spend a lot of time complaining and we don't spend enough time rejoicing. You ought to be happy with what God's doing. You ought to be joyful. You ought to have some joy in your life. Why is it? You know why he slid that singing psalms in there? Because if you sing songs, it's pretty hard to be miserable. That's why Brother Andrew's so happy all the time. Now he's got a little of that personality. Just... You know, if you think about God and heaven and get your mind right and get thinking about him, it takes your mind off of the things in this world that bring you down here. The loftiness of your thought life ought to be toward God instead of toward you and toward the things here. But because we don't give him glory, we don't rejoice. Amazingly enough, when you give him glory, you'd rejoice. Because you rejoice when you seek him. Notice how those two are tied together. Look what he said. He said, the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Maybe your trouble is that you're not seeking him. Why don't I have any joy in my life? Because you're not seeking him. When do you get in the most trouble? When you look at your stuff. And what you have and you don't have, and you start complaining about all the things you over here. But if you'd seek him, he goes, oh, I took care of that. Or you don't need that. Or hey, don't worry about that. That's on my to-do list. I'll take care of that for you. Just give me a moment. and you don't have to worry about it. And you can just rejoice in the fact that you have God taking care of everything for you. Unless you feel like he's not fair. And if that's how you feel, you might want to take that up with him. But I have a distinct feeling that you'll be the one humbled, because you'll have to remember that he's the one who gives you everything. And since he's always good, and he's always right, and he's always got it under control, then I guess you got nothing to worry about. Rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Notice what he says about it. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. You know, when you want the Lord, you can gain his strength. And as a Christian, you know what his promise is to you? That you can be strengthened with all might by his eternal power. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Didn't we learn that from Paul? That when we're weak, we get to be strong because we gain his strength. It's his power, it's God's power and God's might and God's ability and God's working in our lives. And so when we seek him, we find out that we're grateful because we needed his strength. But oftentimes, you know what we rely on? My strength. I rely on my goodness, my ability, my thoughts, my knowledge, my understanding. And those things fail. I am very much fallible, just like everybody else in here. But God's not. God's always the strongest. He's always, because he's all powerful. And he's all knowing. He's ever present. How can you be better than that? And sadly, we look at him and we go, I got it. You know what shows him you're thankful? By asking for his.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm thankful to you. I need your strength. And I know you'll give it to me because you're so good. And you thank him for that. His strength. Seek his face forevermore. You know, in a moment he's going to be talking about the history of Israel. I saw that phrase. You know what I thought of? Moses. I thought of Moses because Moses wanted to see his glory. He wanted to see him face to face. Strange, because later the Lord does say that he spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh with his friends. He wanted to seek his face. Of course, at the time, God says to Moses, you can't see my face. Because if you see me, you're going to die. Can't do it like that, Moses. But man, to seek the face of God. You know where you get to, you know where you get to find that God goes ahead and blesses the most? It's when you pray and seek his face. You know why it's thankfulness to God to seek him? Because that means you're grateful for what he's about to tell you or do for you. God, I'm coming to you because I need your wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God, I need you to direct my paths. For all the teenagers, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, so you can hear it for the 6,008th time, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. So what are you doing? Just seeking his face. Acknowledge him. Get some FaceTime. Everybody wants FaceTime. Okay, get FaceTime with God. Go ahead and seek his face. See what he wants to do. We're so busy that we don't take the time to seek his face evermore. So you think all that's wrapped up in that idea of giving him thanks? It's all right there. How grateful How grateful are you when you get good advice? When you get somebody who gives you some good stuff, it's the same thing. That work I talked about earlier, and somebody helps you out, and you're like, oh man, that was great. That was some of the best things I've ever heard. Could you imagine telling God, hey, God, you're right. Most of the time we don't tell God he's right. We're too busy just being running along after he gave us the answer. And we're just so happy that we got an answer and now it's fixed and we don't even turn around. We're more like the nine than we are like the one. And the nine lepers, they just keep walking, but that tenth one goes, wait a minute, how can I keep walking and not go back and thank the one who gave me all my answers? Sadly, most people don't remember his marvelous works that he's done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth, they don't pay any attention that he is still, verse number 7, working in all the earth. That's where he is. His judgments, they're still working. What he does and what he knows and how he operates, everything, it's still rolling. Exactly the way he wants it to go. Well, what's wrong? I'm not thankful. I'm unthankful. I love that we spend a day, and I hope that you spend your Thursday thanking God. And I hope you do it repeatedly throughout the day. Just thank him for all that he's done for you. But sadly, that'll be the only day he gets it from some.
Come on.
And the truth is, it's just supposed to be, oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Nah.
And that's not a Thursday thing.
That's
an everyday thing.
Amen.
And this is how we got to the place where we're in a world where the last earmarks are starting to come down, and one of the last ones of the last days is on thankfulness. On thankfulness. Parents, you appreciate it when your kids are thankful for what you've done and what you give them. You teach them to say thanks. I hope so. Lost art today, I guess, in the world. But I hope you teach your kids to be thankful for the things people give them something, say thank you. We have to teach them that because you don't want to be thankful. And then you look at a world and you go, how can they be so ungrateful? How can they think that they're supposed to be given everything? Because they've never been taught to be thankful. Let it not be said about a church that the people in that church are unthankful. Because they never got taught to be thankful. God wants us to be thankful. Especially for him. And I can't think of anybody who needs to be more thankful than us. And we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, we live in probably still the greatest country, physically speaking, on the planet. I know Israel's God's chosen and all, but they're getting rockets over there still, all right? I feel a lot safer here than I do there. I'm talking about physical blessings right there. Right now, we're probably in the safest, most prosperous place on the planet. And we can't even be thankful for a day when we ought to be thanking him every day. Saving us, keeping us, providing for us. What a wonderful God we have. Maybe you're in here this morning, you don't even know Jesus as your Savior. I don't know if there's anybody like that. Maybe you're here, you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of all of your sins and wash you white as snow. He's a reasonable God. Got the verse up there at the top of the wall now. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God wants, he's reasonable. He's so reasonable, he died for all of your sins so he could get you a gift, the gift of eternal life. You know what he says? He says, hey, I'll give you the gift of eternal life if you just believe and trust me.
Amen.
If you'd go ahead and call upon me, I'll save you forever. Many of the people in here, I don't know, maybe everybody in here has. But if you haven't, If you haven't, God would love to save you today. He'd love to. He's ready. He's ready to save. I don't know about you, Christian, but if you're in here and you're saved, you certainly have the most to be thankful for. And maybe you haven't spent enough time thanking Him, and maybe you just want to come and thank Him one more time. Or maybe you go, man, I thanked Him yesterday. Okay, well, thank Him again today. Amen. I don't rightly know there's enough times to thank God for saving you for all of eternity.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think there's enough times you can thank Him for taking care of your needs again today.
Right.
I don't think there's enough time. How can you thank Him more than He has been good to you? You'll never tip the scale. You'll run out of things to thank Him for that you'll remember, but there's still plenty more that He's done that you probably have already forgotten, because He's that good. Let's go ahead and stand. If you need to be saved, I'd love for you to come, and I'll open up a Bible. Somebody will open a Bible. We'll show you out of the Word of God how you can know your sins are forgiven forever. We'd love to. Christian, maybe you just need to come and just thank God one more time. What a marvelous God we have. Lord, I do pray You bless the invitation now. Thank You for those who have come. I pray if someone doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day. No more grateful than a day that you finally get to ask Jesus to save you. Father, please bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.